This is Everything is Workable, a series of podcasts and blog posts that examine how every experience, every situation, every moment is an opportunity to work with our mind. My name is Caitlin Hatch, and I'm a creative polymath, which is a nice short way of saying I'm a designer, artist, animator, and published author. My purpose in life is to inspire curiosity, to inspire people to let go of the limited ideas that they have about themselves and their experience. Through the posts and podcasts of Everything is Workable, I hope to share some insight into what this means and give you some ideas of how to make your world so much bigger. I'll have various different guests to share their stories, as well as sharing my own, all with the aim of seeing everything as workable, even the most uncomfortable situations. I may have mentioned that I really love my psychologist. She's my most expensive friend. Having her in my life has been essential to my mental well-being and overall ability to recognize my neuroses and not freak out about them quite so much as I used to. One of the things that I really appreciate about having a psychologist is that she gives me homework. I find her homework super fun because every time it's like a challenge that I've got 2 weeks or a month or however long it is until our next session that I get to play with. And then when I see her again, I get to debrief and see just how effective it was. A lot of these homework assignments turn into tools that I add to my Everything is Workable kit for an awesome life. One of my favorite tools that she's given me is what I now call my only one person in the room gets to have an ego practice. To use some classic self-help spiritual guidance lingo, let me unpack this phrase a bit. For the purpose of this particular podcast, and in the context of how my psychologist explained it, we're going to go with ego as being a strong sense of me. So ignore any psychoanalytical definition that you might have for the word. When I say ego, I mean that little voice in our head that feels threatened by other people's opinions, for example. Or that just can't stand to be thought of as wrong, or the fixed idea we have about who we are that's threatened when something wrapped up in our identity disappears, like a job or the person that we're in a relationship with. I often think of my own ego sort of like as a small child with crossed arms and a pouty face, stamping her foot and saying no. Regardless, our ego generally makes things a lot more difficult than they need to be. Our ego is so wrapped up in being right that it stops us from seeing the situation or people around us. It gets us stuck in our own heads with our own personal storyline where we're the victim, or we're the righteous one, or we're the misunderstood one, or whatever. Point is, the ego isn't the best judge of what to do in a difficult scenario like that. What happens when our ego is running the show is generally a lot of miscommunication. When you say you've got like two egos and they're having a clash, what you've got going on there is a really strong me versus them dynamic. You've got two people who are stuck on being right. And they're so stuck on being right that they're not listening to each other. They're just going to war. I don't know about you, but I'm not so great at changing my mind or listening to new ideas or thinking about different ways of doing things when they're presented to me aggressively or like something that I should do. I don't like being told how to think or what to believe in or how to do something when I've not asked how to do it. Most people don't really like that. So when someone approaches us from this point of ego, our usual response is to put our back up and to go to war, defend our space, our viewpoint, our choices, whatever it is. In a professional environment, this can get really sticky. I don't know if there's an official study on this, but very commonly I've heard that the number one reason why people leave a job is due to personality conflicts. Right? Personality conflicts. Also could be called egos going to war. So when my psychologist gave me this advice, she was giving it in the context of the job that I was working. She said, when someone comes at you, guns blazing, raring for a fight, just tell yourself, only one person in the room gets to have an ego. Hint, it's not you. You don't get to have an ego. Because when someone comes at you like that, their ego's already in play. So, right, it's not going to be me. The point is, anyone who's approached us with righteous indignation or some sort of aggressive agenda, they're already a victim of their ego mind. They're not in any place to be rational adults and communicate clearly and with maturity and with professionalism. They've already gone to war. But we can choose not to engage them. This is, of course, a lot easier said than done. Most of us have probably spent our lives protecting ourselves in these situations. It's hard not to justify it, especially when the other person seems really irrational. We can claim that their irrationality isn't fair or it isn't professional for the sake of going to war with their ego. When someone is attacking us, it's pretty instinctive to attack back. Either that or we run away, right? It's fight or flight. These are really ingrained responses in us. We either put up our fists or we take off to get as far away from the vitriol as we possibly can. But the practice of only one person in the room gets to have an ego isn't about doing either of those things. It's also not about passively letting someone abuse us. It isn't okay for someone to attack us, and I'm not saying that we're taking the higher road in this case either, because at some point we've all been on the attack in the exact same way as we're being attacked. But this is really good news, because it means that we have insight into what the other person might be feeling when they come at us with what we feel are venomous or unfair words. But let me give you an example, because I'm aware that I'm kind of talking in abstract. In a previous job I had, I was having some difficulties with my manager. I'd had some challenges with managers before. We've all had good managers, bad managers, right? Different relationships. But this was like nothing I had ever encountered. They were really inconsistent with their expectations of me. They didn't communicate clearly. And I was often also being asked to do things that were outside of my job description or my skill set. So I was muddling along and hoping things that would get better and, you know, doing the best that I could. But then one day, this manager asked me to stay after a group staff meeting for a quick chat. The quick chat turned out to be more of an ambush. They accused me of several things, and they threatened my job security. So my memory of this is quite clear. I felt really terrified inside. I was shaky. I totally was having a flight response. I wanted to get up and run away. It was definitely there. But I didn't, because I knew that I hadn't done any of the things I was being accused of. I knew I was a good employee who showed up on time, and I carried out my duties to the best of my ability, given difficult circumstances. And I've always had a really strong work ethic, so I know my value as an employee. So even though this manager was on the attack, and even though I had the habitual like flight response that was totally flooding me with adrenaline, I remembered where I was, and I let them finish what they had to say. And then I very clearly stated that their accusations were unfounded. I pointed out how. I shared my side of things, and then I questioned if my job was being threatened, and I said that I would feel a lot more comfortable having this conversation with someone from HR present. And I can honestly tell you, I have no idea where the clarity of thought came from, other than the fact that I was confident that I had not done anything wrong. And the result was, manager just deflated, totally backed down, apologized, even said it was water under the bridge, and we could start with a clean slate the following week. Because I spoke to them as an adult, and because I was aware of a lot of other things going on. But the point was, I didn't engage in an attack. So, while at this particular employer, just to give you a bit of background, 12 different people left, and I was only there for 6 months. Anyone in business will tell you that high turnover like that is a sign of poor upper management. In fact, there is a brilliant cartoon that illustrates this beautifully. It's a tree full of birds, and on the top branch is the biggest bird, and cascading down below it are all these smaller birds at different levels. And that big bird has just, expletive coming here, taken a shit all over the birds that are under it. And they have consequently done the same to the ones that are beneath them. So I was aware of the fact that the person this manager reported to was shitting all over all of the senior managers. It was really hard to miss that. And it didn't make it okay that it was then taken out on other members of the team, that, you know, the rest of us under the senior management team were also getting shit on. That wasn't okay. But at least I could understand how hard it was for everyone in the organization. And I didn't want to be adding to it. This is what it means to let only one person in the room have an ego. It's a very compassionate thing for yourself and for all the other people involved. What you're doing is asking yourself, do I want to add to the animosity and tension and discomfort, or do I want to loosen things up and relax everyone a little and just ease what's going on here? When we ask ourselves this, we pull ourselves out of our own limited experience of a situation and see the greater whole. We can see that, oh yeah, that person is going through a really tough divorce and just found out that their partner is refusing to pay for any of it. Or, oh right, his mother was hospitalized last week and he said that he was having late nights because he's been going to visit her. Again, none of these things excuse bad behavior. I'm not saying we have free license to be a jerk just because something difficult is going on for us, but it is a very human response. The world takes a giant dump on us, so we really do try to take a giant dump back. And generally what ends up happening is we have a lot of collateral damage. I like to look at it as a concept of paying it forward, right? We can choose to pay forward aggression, anger, irritation, or we can pay forward kindness, support, and care. You can ask yourself, do I want to add to the animosity, or do I want to detract from it? When we ignore this stamping foot of our ego that's telling us that we're right and they're wrong, or that what they're doing is not okay, and what we're doing is brilliant and they should be doing it differently, when we actually ignore that, we can see everything much more clearly and then work with it more effectively. And I'm not saying to suppress that ego either. That doesn't really work. But what you can start to do is just notice it. And then you can send it to the corner to have a think. And you can even, I mean, I do this. I talk to my ego. I'm like, that's not really helpful, is it? No, it's not. So you just go over there, you know, have your little temper tantrum, sort yourself out. And then you can communicate in a more compassionate, open way that doesn't turn a staff meeting into a war zone or turn a one-to-one into an assassination. So the next time you find yourself confronted by someone on the warpath like that, just remind yourself, only one person in the room gets to have an ego. And it's not going to be me. And then see what happens. You might be surprised. Thank you for listening to Everything is Workable, a Funwolf Creations production. If you have a question you'd like to ask, a topic that you'd like me to tackle, or if you'd like to become a contributor, you can get in touch with me through www.vast-skythinking.com by visiting the Everything is Workable blog. Thank you to the very talented Dexter Britton for sharing his music with the world. The music used in this podcast is from his Creative Commons Volume 5 album, available on www.dexterbritton.co.uk.